All the madness, the horrors, the absolute insanity. How could you have unleashed something so vile and disturbing? It's the Jason Wilkins Factory Podcast.
We are episode 3 of the Jason Wilkins Factory Podcast. And today we have Sean Morey, who is the executive director of the Peterborough Humane Society. So thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me, pal. Appreciate
it. You're a busy guy.
Awesome. Yeah. A little bit.
Especially
but
now.
A couple things on the go right now, but
what's wrong?
Excited to be
is
here.
Is it okay? Oh, okay. That's okay. We'll just keep talking and you can figure, we'll just, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, we already talked a lot. Do you want us to keep talking or? Okay, cool. And you can leave all this in. It's fine. So we already had a chat a bit before we got on here, but like, it's been wicked to see like everything that's been going on from day one. So when we get things up and rolling, like seeing the build, from last winter to now is crazy.
Yeah.
Like the bare bones to where it's at now is wild. So, and for those who don't know what I'm talking about, the Humane Society has a new home. You're moving in probably like end of month, next month.
Yeah, hoping to be
in there.
Keys in hand by the end of this month and then start transitioning ourselves into the center so we can get operational by the first part of January.
That's wicked. So did you inherit this kind of mission or when you came into the role, or was this kind of like, how did that happen?
Yeah, the concept of the new animal care center started back in 2012. So prior to me coming on board.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. So when we purchased the land back over on Technology Drive, it was actually in November of 2012.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And then so
from
there,
a decade.
The mindset around this new center kind of took shape. And then almost 10 years to the day from concept to completion of this project. So I came in about midway through, just prior to, you know, going through valued engineering, getting a good understanding of what the needs and wants of the center were going to be, having to make sure that we had the funds to make it happen, and then the sustainability for it after the fact. So that was the big first step for us, was the first couple of years just getting ourselves in a position where we could, you know, foresee us actually building it, but also sustaining it in that center for long term.
Yeah.
So we made that happen over the first couple of years. And then it was actually when the pandemic hit, we knew that our demands for our center were going to be that much greater, you know, coming out of it. And that's what pushed us to get started with the build. And 21 months later, we've got our brand new center.
That is wild.
Yeah.
So I, from an artist standpoint, I think about like how beautiful, I keep talking about it with you, like how beautiful aesthetically the place is. Mm. Like it's awesome. So you got the land like 10 years ago. When did the planning start for what the building would look like? Because you're with, is it Lett?
Yeah, Lett Architects did the design of the building. They've done an incredible job, been an awesome partner with us right from the get-go. They started with original concept design of it back in fall of 2013.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So they've been with us right from day one.
Wow.
And the real skeleton of the center and the beauty of the center hasn't changed in the 10 years since we've been pushing this forward. So it's nice to see it, because a lot of the times too, as you could imagine, 10 years, a lot changes, right? Your budgets change, your needs change in regards to what you can do. But having the foresight of Lett Architects and knowing, you know, the animal care spaces and what we wanted to do, it really didn't change, because it was primarily built for the animal in mind. So we really had to make minor alterations as we went along. You know, some things had to kind of get valued engineered out of the project. Fortunately, we've been able to put some other stuff back into the project, just because the community's been so supportive of what we're doing, and it just allows us to, you know, see it fully and get it operationally fully to what we had envisioned back in 2013.
Wow. Because that's also like, that is a testament to them, like you know, to have a design that early on and then not have many changes after. That's pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, having the support of our board of directors and the community, obviously, too, is a huge, huge perspective. Too.
Yeah.
We lost the GoPro.
We're still rolling with this. We're not stopping, Nick. We're not stopping. So like, your past is, golf.
Golf, yeah, golf and business.
So,
yeah.
What was that transition like? I mean, you're what's 5-6 years in now, right?
I'll be 5 years in January.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that transition like? Because obviously two different worlds. So, well, yes and no, I guess business is business, right? But you were a golf pro, or you were managing, or both, right?
Both. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Golf professional and manager at the same time. So, yeah. The transition was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was completely out of the spectrum for sure. I had no idea. I walked in day one, hour one, and had literally no idea what the Humane Society was all about. Like, obviously you had a couple of good interviews, you read up on the facility, and really you can only read up so much around the Peterborough Humane Society, what it means to the community and all that kind of stuff until you get in there and start, you know, getting, you know, absorbing it all and getting a good understanding of what it all entailed.
Yeah.
But man, what an amazing, amazing organization.
Yeah.
And it just, the passion and the purpose that it brings is everything. So easy to adopt to that model.
You know,
and bringing a business mindset into a charitable sector was a cool initiative that the board saw that we needed in order for us to get to the place that we're at today.
Really, yeah.
To get us to build and completion of the build, and then obviously programming for the future, is having that mindset around, you know, what does 6 months down the road look like? What does a year down the road look like? How do we put that business mindset into the not-for-profit sector so that we can be not only sustainable, like I said before, but also successful, and make sure that we're building this thing for the community for the future?
Yeah, exactly. And like the passion that people have for, I mean, it all starts there anyway.
100%.
Like, it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Period.
Exactly.
And I know for a fact, because my wife works there, that I mean, anyone who has this like love for animals, if you're running up against barriers, like maybe there, I mean, I'm sure there's been tons with the build and all kinds of other things that go into running the place, like it's the animals that kind of would push you forward through those moments, I'm sure, right? Because you're thinking, okay, you know, it's all about them.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I mean, there was, everybody in the world just went through 2.5 years of trial and tribulation, right? And what was the one thing that kept you happy and sane throughout those 2.5 years?
Yep.
It was your four-legged friend that you had with you.
Exactly.
100%.
Oh, right? Exactly.
And that in itself just goes to show you the importance of what we do as an organization, but also the importance of what this center is going to bring too.
Yeah. And like you said, community is huge. Like I experienced that even just being down here for the arts. And then you move outside of downtown and you realize, okay, the community's all in on lots of things going on in Peterborough. And like, it's super valuable and nothing could happen without that. So, you know, it's cool to see on social and kind of in the news what people coming out to support you guys. Like, so now we have PTBO Canada, who's doing their toque campaign, right?
So which is fantastic.
Yeah.
All of those community initiatives and supports all go to the bottom line and help us continue to do what we do. You know, and so, yeah, you'd see it from all different walks of life and all different types of supports. Like, you could have, you know, small kids that instead of getting presents for their birthday party, collect donations of food or money to provide to the animals within our care. You've got large corporations that throw up support, you know, and a capital investment into our center. And then you have folks like Curtis that, you know, for the toque thing to put forward proceeds towards that, to go towards the Humane Society. Every little bit helps us continue to do what we're doing, but then also it helps the community accelerate what we can do for the future.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's jumped on board for a few of my things too. Like, he's all about that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the core of what he does, right?
But that's Peterborough, right?
That is Peterborough.
It's unbelievable to see.
It's wild.
The community just comes to embrace their own and supports their own all the way through.
Yeah. I had a meeting at the library this morning because I'm doing something for them. And we had a chat about sort of like, you know, especially downtown, like you get like, there's always naysayers and there's people out there who are going to like try to knock things down. But I'm telling you, like, and you know it, just kind of the position you're in, how good we have it here in so many ways. And so, yeah, like super lucky.
That's huge.
It's massive. Yeah.
Because there's lots of times, especially when you're dealing with a project of this scope or any project really for that matter, anything you're trying to get off the ground, you always have that question in the back of your mind. Is it going to work? And is it going to be supported as we go through this?
Yeah.
And, you know, with this community, that's the one thing that you don't have to worry about. Is you know that the community is going to support you.
So on this like mission to build this new facility, were there any moments over the time you've been there where you're like, man, not sure, but if this is going to fly, or like what sort of obstacles were there where you're like, oh, I'm not like, this is serious, or, you know, how are we going to push through this one? Or there's got to be so many that were in your way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Without question. I mean, you always get some of the times the naysayers or the questions or concerns that come up around, you know, what's the need for the build? Why does it need to be as big as it is? Why is it so expensive? What is the, you know, what's the focus of the shelter environment to be, you know, a $12 to $13 million facility?
Right.
You're always answering those questions. But as soon as you start identifying what it is that we're building, that it's purposefully built for the animal in mind, we have a state-of-the-art HVAC system, which was, you know, 1/10 of the cost of the entire facility, is put right into our HVAC that will keep our animals healthier that come into our care, get them healthier faster as they're in our care, and allow us to help more animals for the future. Those questions start to dissipate and become lessened. There's tons of times where you sit there and go, geez, are we making the right call here? You know, is now the right time? And I think it was the opposite for us, because we sat there and said, well, if we don't build this thing now, when we know we're at the height of the pandemic at the time, we've been talking about it as an organization for 7 years at that point. If we don't build it now, that community confidence can start to start to decline. And then what happens? Right. We're in a building that was built in 1956 that needs a ton of repairs if we're going to just stay there and build it. It's not built to be animal welfare.
Oh, man, I've been in there so many times. And you look around and like, you're like, you guys need to get out of here.
Oh, 100%. Like a long time ago. Yeah. So, yeah, we were in that kind of crossroads where if we don't build it now, we don't know if we're going to have the ability to build it, period, because cost escalation was starting to rise like crazy. You know, we're just in the middle of all the tariffs with regards to lumber trades, you know, and all the supply and demand issues that we were having, supply chain issues that were starting to happen. So very, very fortunate that we brought it forward to the board. They had full confidence in what we were doing as a management group and the organization to see it through. We got some great support from our friends at Kawartha Credit Union. They came on board and helped us answer a lot of the questions that we had around the financial aspect of it, making sure that we could sustain as an organization after the fact. And then our community jumped on top of it as well.
You know, yeah, that's true. You don't think of that. You think, okay, we're in, cool, like, let's go. But then of course you're in, you're like, okay, now there's these, you know, you have to, there's extra costs, there's heating, there's electricity, there's, you name it, there's additional costs when you're in there.
Yeah. So start developing a budget. So this past year, so when I first got there in 2018, our budget for the organization was just over $850,000. This year alone, we're at 1.27. Next year, we're going to be at 3.26 million.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's a bit of a change, right?
Yeah.
So with that comes exponential growth. We're hiring a lot more staff. So we've gone from a staffing of 17 to 26 currently. We'll be 35 by mid-January probably. And then when we get up and fully operational, we could see a staffing model of 40 staff members within the facility. So that growth is great, because it also means better economic development. You know, we're creating more jobs as an organization too, and supporting our community, and not only just Peterborough, but our outward community as well.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, and when you're in there and you've created this thing, of course, we chatted about this a little bit too, but like, there's going to be this massive draw. Like, it's just going to be a beautiful place to be, period. So people are going to want to be there. They're going to want to learn more about what's going on there. And for those who aren't animal people, I was one, before I met Heidi. Like, I think it's an awesome opportunity for people to experience what it is to be around animals and, like, coming and seeing, like, the care that's involved. And listen, I was not a cat person. And then you start to see, like, you're around them enough and, wow, they have this, like, cool, you know, personality of their own. And, like, I think it's neat in general just for people to have access to a place like that where they can, like you're saying, where they can walk around and breathe and be like, wow, like, this is incredible.
Oh, without question. Yeah. Right? And, I mean, that's one of the things that's a huge detriment to our current space is that ability to be transparent with, you know, the folks in our community around what we're doing. Like, you can tell them everything that's going on. And obviously being an organization that's been around since 1941,
yeah,
it comes with history, wow, comes with stigma, comes with a bunch of other things that are associated to, you know, the shelter environment,
yeah,
right? And what it is that PHS either did stand for back in the day or was perceived yes, to stand for back in the day.
Yeah.
Being able to have a center where you can be open, transparent, people can come in,
yeah,
see what we're doing, see the work that we're doing with the dogs and cats and all of the animals that are in our care, but yeah, also seeing our staff and the focus and the hard work and dedication that they put into their daily tasks to support animals that are in our care is going to just, yeah, completely put us on a different spectrum.
Yeah. You're all doing a killer job. Like, even though you're confined, you're in that space that's you've clearly outgrown, you still go in there and feel good. Like, you can still go in there and walk around and it still feels good. So good for you guys for doing that. But, like, the staff there, too, you know, like, I always think of the positions there like being a police officer or a nurse or, like, even, like, a daycare worker as far as, like, I feel like you're built. You have to be built for that job.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't just walk into something like that and be like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, care for animals. No, no, no. Like, you have to be a special kind of person.
Oh, absolutely.
To do that, yeah, which is awesome.
The team themselves are incredible individuals. Mm-hmm. Like, they put their blood, sweat, and tears, heart and soul, mm-hmm, into those animals every single day.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be trying as well, you know, from, mm-hmm, a compassion perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But they show up every day to work selflessly,
yeah,
for those animals, and it's absolutely fantastic. Like, yeah,
couldn't
be more proud of the team that we have, the, yep, team that's been helped us get to where we are too. That we should, yeah, identify that. But also the folks that are going to be with us to help us, you know,
grow,
set the new bar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And continue to grow.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's almost like a reward. If you think about being in that position for a number of years and then you go to this new building and you're like, wow, we got here. Like, this is pretty wicked, right?
It's a good first day.
No,
yeah, it'll be a good first day.
It'll be a good, yeah, first day.
Well, and we were so funny. We were talking about that last week. So I had a nice staff meeting with the team just identifying our transitional plan and what that kind of operational timeline is going to look like, because we've got a little bit of a time between now, the end of the month, but then also until our building closes in Lansdowne Street, around how we're going to transition everything over. And I was saying to the team, it is our opportunity right now to make a second first impression.
Yeah.
Within not only the community, but maybe some of those folks, again, like, that may be those naysayers or may not understand exactly what it is that we do as an organization. We have the opportunity to make that second first impression.
Yes.
Which is huge. Not every business has that. So,
oh, yeah,
being able to physically just change location, but by changing location, potentially changing the image of the organization too, is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
A great opportunity for,
oh,
us.
Oh, 100%. It's going to shed a whole new light on everything, mm-hmm, for sure. So I would love to hear more about, like, exactly what's in that, like, what's in the building itself.
So it's big.
Yeah.
First and foremost, it's about four times the size of what we got currently.
How many square feet is it?
24,000 square feet.
Yeah. Whatever.
All single level. Yeah. Yeah. Easy stuff. Yeah. Not much to it. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty base level. Awesome, because it's going to have some of the largest suites for dogs and cats within the country.
Yeah. We're saying it's going to be like the Hilton.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah. Dogs will have the ability to go in and out into interior and exterior suites as much as they want throughout the day, mm-hmm, so that they can have as much enrichment outside as they possibly want,
mm-hmm,
get as much of the outside elements as they want. Currently, we don't have that in our center. Staff have to physically, and volunteers have to physically walk every single dog outside,
right,
if they want to get them outside time. So being able to change that mindset and allow them that opportunity to do so themselves is just going to create more enrichment for them. I said, aside from the animal spaces, our core functionality is going to be a lot more on adoption and education.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot more educational programming, a lot more community facing support too. So being able to get community groups in there, kids camps, you know, corporate office retreats, if they want to get away for a day
yeah.
and want to, you know, come and spend some time in our multipurpose room, they could do so. But humane program is going to be a big one. We also got a publicly accessible high volume spay neuter clinic that's going in there as well. So
mm-hmm.
that's where folks who either don't have a vet or are struggling to get a spay or neuter surgery can come to our center and get that service for their pets, which is huge.
Awesome.
So it's going to help with pet overpopulation, not only just in this area, but regionally and provincially.
Yeah, because right now you do like a spay and neuter clinic at your facility now. Right.
We'll do a mobile one from time to time.
Right. But now in this case, the new building, you'll
be able to do it on a daily basis.
Just be running.
Yep.
That's
so
awesome.
So we'll have the ability to support more animals and more pet owners with that surgery as well, which is huge. It's a huge health promotion for those animals. Like I said, it also it helps with a pet overpopulation and kind of keeps our numbers at steady levels. But it's also a good health promotion for the animal too, to get that long-term support. So that's where we're going to work closely with our local veterinarian community around, okay, we're going to provide the spay and neuter surgery to this animal. If you don't have a vet, here's an opportunity or a gateway for you to potentially get, you know, into a vet for long-term health of that animal. So it's creating that promotion of long-term health within those dogs
and cats. That's great.
And it's just another barrier that currently is felt within the community that we're going to hopefully be able to, subside with. So,
That's wicked.
Yeah.
And then also we were talking about like the back lot. So there's 12 acres you said back there.
We have a total of just shy of 20 acres on property,
right.
But 12 acres right now that's identified as provincially significant wetland.
Right.
So that's protected through ORCA, but we've got a lot of woodlot in that area that could be utilized for trail systems. So
yeah.
Really invasive trail systems where folks in the community want to come and take their dogs for a tour through our woodlot can do so.
Yeah.
We're also going to have an off-leash dog park, so a off-leash publicly accessible dog park on site as well, so folks can come and utilize that as well.
Like it.
So lots of opportunity for the community to come in and just spend time within our center, which is what it's all about.
And then you guys can be in there looking outside at the beautiful surroundings you got there too.
You're not looking at Lansdowne. Special piece of property. it's going to be nice. Yeah,
that's amazing. And then also we'll point out the beer. So we've got. So this started. I don't know. I'll hold this up, but I don't remember when it was. Did I date it? Oh yeah, 2019. So this was. You guys had commissioned this from me in 2019. So it's, I think it was something you just wanted to have up. There was no really preconceived idea. And so it kind of shows the build from images I had to kind of work from at the mm-hmm. time. And then you've got other landmarks in there, and you've got the Peterborough Airport, and you've, you know, the wildlife and stuff like that. And then, When did the beer take off? When was that?
Beer took off. Geez, that's a great question. I think it was mid to late 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been in production for just over a year now, I think.
Yeah.
And from our friends at Publican House, and you know, not only is the design of the can fantastic from you, it tastes pretty damn good too.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then it grew legs, and now it's an LCBO and the beer store, and yeah, it's really neat to see it out there.
It's awesome.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty wicked.
It's always been on my bucket list to do a beer can. So when this came up, I was like, that is awesome.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't have asked for a better partnership.
Super cool.
With you, but also with them.
And yeah, and then we've have people who, well, there's one from Peterborough Humane Society, but we have people all the time tagging me in it. Like they're out at Publican at the restaurant tagging it and like, you know, that just helps too.
Oh, big time.
So what is it? Their percentage of each sale, right?
Yeah, it's I think it's 10 cents from every can or 20 cents from every liter,
yeah,
something like that.
And then you times that by, yeah, like it just keeps selling, which is wicked.
It's been blowing up like crazy.
Yeah, there's someone else that tagged. Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, every time I go in there, I ask them, you know, how it's doing. Oh man, it's still flying off the shelf, which is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah,
and it's all part of, you know, our promotion of not only the center but just around what we're trying to build, right?
Yeah,
around rebranding and remarketing the Humane Society.
Yeah,
doing, so.
Yeah, and from an art standpoint, like not just for myself but other even emerging artists in town, the community is awesome for that. Like drawing, like bringing in the arts. To help with other community initiatives, like,
yep.
It's an ongoing, and like it has momentum behind it. So a lot of that probably has to do with you guys, but I'm seeing way more of it.
Well, that's what like, it's all about.
It's right? happening out there,
yeah.
Like big time. Do you want to show Nick? Do you want to show the Instagram of the? I'd love to show people that because it's so cool. The time lapse of the build. Yeah, that's the most recent one there.
Yeah, so that's pretty special. We have worked with Concrete Productions, so it's a company that has both a still frame camera on site that takes, I think it's 20 reels an hour.
Yeah.
And then also the drone footage, so they can kind of showcase what it's been like right from the second we did the first shovel in the ground to,
yep,
you know, nearing completion, being able to tell that story. That was something that I always wanted to do, is just to kind of show it right from ground up.
Yep.
And so that you can kind of see how it's being built and
how
it was built. So it's really cool to see them bring it into life. And then, you know, the focus will be doing a transitional shot too of, okay, now we've built this, seeing all the animals starting to make their way into the new center.
Oh, well, that'll be really neat.
Forward, so.
Oh, that'll be awesome,
yeah,
to see.
Yeah. So that'll be the next big focus for us, is actually doing the, I was thinking like the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, where you got the Seven Dwarfs going like, hi-ho, off to work we go. So
yeah,
we got a couple of folks in construction hats and then hand, you know, walking the dogs and cats.
That's
towards
awesome.
The center and getting them into their new home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So see if that comes to life. But
that's super cool.
I don't get paid for my marketing skills. I just throw out ideas from time to time.
No, that's a good one. That could work.
Sometimes
that could
go,
work. And
yeah,
they're like,
okay,
yeah,
so we'll put that on the shelf. And yeah. But
I love watching these. It's so cool. Because it's not just the build itself. It's literally everything it represents. Like, it's so, I just can't imagine, like, being at the helm of that and being like, okay, walking in the office one day and be like, wow, okay, so this, let's just keep the momentum. Let's keep pushing it forward. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, like we were saying, talking about it within the community, and I mean, even well before my time, talking about it for the last 10 years and taking it from what was a rendering, right? A picture,
yeah,
of what potentially could be.
Yeah.
To actually physically being able to see it, walk through it.
Yep.
And actually see the work that's been done to make it happen.
Yeah.
It's pretty special.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
And then you guys won... there's that picture of Sean, too, where he's accepting the award. There it is. So you won, what was it, the marketing award?
Yeah, so it was with the Peterborough Kawartha Chamber of Commerce for best marketing and promotion for our pet project. So it was around all of the marketing campaign we've been putting forward towards the center,
yeah,
including the beer, including all of the illustrations that you've done for us, and the support that's been provided. And so that, all together, it was allowed us to win that award, which is pretty special.
Again, just another platform, right? Just raising you guys up. That's pretty cool.
It was interesting. I was sitting in this was back in 2018, and I was sitting in an office talking to a supporter of the Humane Societies, and he kind of cleared it up pretty quickly for me. He said, you know, the what you guys are doing is amazing. Like, you know, everybody that either owns an animal or has an idea or an affinity for what animals bring to them, understand what you do. But the building itself and the campaign to build the facility, it doesn't have purpose.
Right.
So you need something that's going to bring it purpose. So that's where the creation of our pet project came into play. That's when we started doing the illustrations to kind of showcase, you know, mm-hmm. what this means for Peterborough through your work. And then developing that marketing campaign and that strategy to, A, continue, like, build momentum and continue momentum flowing throughout the entire push.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that while we were doing so, we kept a good and hard focus on what we were doing today, too. So that we didn't want to lose focus of the operational aspect of things while still transitioning into this new center and what it's going to do for the future.
Yeah, that's a lot of juggling.
And but giving, when being told that you needed some purpose behind what you're doing, and then subsequently about 6 months after we started putting all this stuff together, created our pet project, changed all of our marketing material, developed a website for the center, which ourpetproject.ca, went back to that gentleman's office 6-8 months later, and he said, now you've got purpose. Now the community can get behind it a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the aha moment for us, and that's what's kind of stirred us to continue pushing forward and making this thing come to fruition.
Yeah, everybody needs something to kind of get them, especially I always think about, like, again, I was one who wasn't an animal person, and then you're trying to get the attention of those people as well. You're trying to get the attention of everybody.
For sure.
So that's where that comes in, for sure. Like, yes, if you're already an animal person, it's super easy. Like, yes, I want to support this, you know, no brainer. But it's the ones who are not 100% on board and not sure what the hell's going on there. To get them, that's tough.
Oh, for sure.
That's tough.
And that's where that whole aspect of things comes into play, because I remember walking in, and at the time, I think there were 6 or 7 other capital campaigns on the go.
Yes.
While we were actively campaigning for the center.
Yep.
This is 2018, 2019. So what was it that would set us apart from some of those other campaigns?
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of great organizations and a ton of great charities and not-for-profits in Peterborough that are always fighting for support, money, ways that they can continue their operations, but also ways that they can continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so having to make sure that we put together a real good strategy, you know, a good business model and a great plan moving forward, building up the confidence of our community, helping us, you know, I think the general awareness of what we do as an organization was another big focal point of us.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us the confidence to kind of move it forward. And then, you know, that's where, if the community sees, you know, that positive change and that continued momentum, and, you know, where we can, you know, tell our story, bring it out there, see an end result that's going to be sustainable, that's the recipe for success.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it snowballs, right? Because as soon as you, like I said earlier, I'm seeing way more of you guys out there, period, in the community, like on social. You guys have always been good at that, but other corporations in town, like, jumping on, like, they want to be part of it now.
Oh,
right?
For sure. I mean, as you know, right, this, if you're not out there constantly, or at least consistently, you can get lost in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Right. There's so many different platforms and methods and different things that are trying to capture your attention at all times. To stay, you know, stay relevant and stay at the top of people's mindset is very difficult these days.
Oh, 100%.
So making sure that we always had a kind of a steady drip of momentum that was happening, but also a steady drip of, you know, keeping our community engaged with what we were doing,
mm-hmm.
Was critical in us continuing to push this forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you started, and you were kind of presented with, like, okay, now I'm leading this thing. Like, I'm at the, you know, the head of the train on here, on this thing. What was your mindset kind of going into that? Cause again, you had said, you know, coming from that background already, and then there's that, you know, little bit of a shock. You're like, oh, okay, cool. But then there's the added pressure of, you know, okay, now I'm leading this campaign. Like, this is a big deal. What were you thinking, like, going into it?
What am I thinking?
No. Okay, this was fun.
Yeah, this is great. No, it was front and center right from the second I came on board with the Humane Society that this was the goal, right? The goal was to build this facility,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being able to do it in less than 5 years is pretty special. Able to get ourselves into a position where we could do it within 5 years was even greater. I think having, having an amazing team is critical. That was step one.
Yeah. I
mean, we've had some amazing folks that have supported this organization through their blood, sweat, and tears, and lots of it. That gives you the motivation to keep driving forward because you're doing it for them and you're doing it for the animals. Having an awesome board of directors that supported me throughout the entire process was another big piece to it. And then individuals within the community that have supported it all the way through too and provided, you know, guidance, support, advice, mentorship throughout it continues to help you kind of see the light and continue to push forward for that.
Because
there's no question in a campaign of this stature, there's times of fatigue that walk into it without question. But then you just ask, well, what am I here for? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Which is the same question that you ask all of your staff on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And it's because of the passion and the purpose and the dedication to this organization, which has allowed us to continue to push this forward.
It's similar to like it is the further along you get and the more help you need, it's like all you got to do is ask. Like, you know, I have always had trouble with, like, you know, leaning on people and like saying, hey, I need a hand or I need help or whatever, and then I brought this guy on, and you know, so really it's like it does take a community, it does take people around you, good people. And it is true. You are, I think the saying is, you are the 10 people you surround yourself with. So if you have that staff and you have that community, I mean, it just strengthens the whole thing, right?
Oh, it's huge.
And then you can just build on that.
Yeah.
Without any of that, you think, you know, sometimes you think you can just do it, power through, I can do it, no problem. I don't need help. It's cool. I mean, but yeah, you got to have that help or it's, yeah, it can go sideways pretty quick,
oh,
right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you're going down one road and one pathway that you think is the right pathway, but there's nobody else that's following you, it's gonna be a pretty lonely walk. Making sure that you've got a team that's walking that same path with you, seeing what you're doing, supporting what you're doing, gives you the confidence to know that you're doing the right thing. And that's how we've been able to be successful so far.
Did the pandemic I mean, I was, because Heidi's there and I've, you know, obviously experienced some of that through her. What was that like as far as the build goes? And also what was the feeling like at the center?
I mean, I think a lot like a lot of other companies and just individuals in the world, there was a lot of unknown and a lot of question marks. I remember sitting up there March 16th, like everybody else and saying to your staff, okay, we just got to go home for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was the mentality most people, right?
Yep. I remember it like March 16th at 10:06 a.m.
Yeah.
I told staff that they needed to go home for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, not knowing that two and a half years later, we're still struggling with it in different aspects of things. It brought to light a lot of things. One, I was shocked initially, and I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was initially shocked at just the outpouring of support that our community provided us in those first 6 to 8 months of the pandemic, because everybody else was, you know, everybody's shutting down, everybody's, you know, trying to figure out what is what and what's tomorrow going to bring.
Yep.
You know, we threw out a couple of marketing campaigns and pledges for support out into our community early and often, and they came in droves. Like, they just continued to support what we were doing with the organization and the care that we were providing for all these animals, because we didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring in that regard. We actually strengthened a lot of our processes too. I know our adoption process got a lot more, not stringent, but a lot more focus, so that when we were adopting out an animal during the pandemic and during that time frame, we were doing so with a little bit more of a critical eye, so that, you know, that rate of return was going to continue to lessen. And you had heard about it, all these other folks that were, you know, either, you know, buying animals off of Kijiji or this pandemic pet issue, which is absolutely real,
right?
100% real. It happened. You know, you're starting to see that happen within, you know, not necessarily in our community, but outward communities as well. So wanting to make sure that we did our part to be very, you know, I would say responsible in regards to making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if an animal went out of our facility and was adopted out into a family, that it was going to stay there.
Yes.
That was a big piece to it.
Yeah.
And then as the pandemic continued to grow forward, you know, the mindset came up around, okay, well, now it's time, we need to build, because we know, you know, what goes up must come down sometimes, mm-hmm. right? So we know all of this demand for, you know, animals at home mm-hmm. and through the pandemic and the support that they're going to need eventually was going to start coming down the other way. Sure enough, obviously, as society, we've started to see that. But critical that we got into a position where we could get the build started, move it forward. We've got a great contractor that's been with us right from the get-go that has supported yeah. what we're doing and have stayed pretty well, you know, predominantly on budget and on time throughout the entire process,
that's
which
wild.
Is huge. And with everything that was happening with
yeah.
massive amounts of money that was for lumber at that point.
And yeah, I remember.
Supply and demand issues that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, fuel charges now and the surcharges that are associated with that.
Yeah.
You know, and all of the global shortages that we've received, we've really come out of this thing pretty, pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, considering what it could have been, we've been very, very fortunate.
Yeah. There's all those memes out there forever, like, you know, toothpicks like $300 or something. It's like, yeah. you know, like, and
heaven forbid you want to try and find toilet paper in those first few weeks, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, remember that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, the same thing. Similar happened to me. You get phone call after phone call, cancellation, and you're like, oh my God,
what's
yeah. up? Yeah. And yeah, the animal end of things as far as adopting and like, I'm done now, I'd like to return the animal, like I hope you didn't see too much of that.
We were fortunate. We kind of were in a position where we did see a little bit of it and a bit of a draw.
I mean, it's gonna happen. Yeah.
You know, we have great staff that have been dedicated to just taking the time to speak with folks and yep. saying, okay, you know what? Yes, this is how you feel today, but, you know, here's some tips and some ideas around how you can maybe, you know, give it a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Try to adjust it this way. I know you're going back to work. You know, the animal itself has been, you know, whether it's a dog or cat or whatever, has had you, you know, on their hip for the last 2 years. Now, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. there's a change. There's going to be anxiety. There's going to be separation stuff that's happened from that perspective. Here's some tips in order to kind of ease that change.
Yeah.
It's a change for everybody, right? It's
yeah.
going to be a change for the animal just as it is for your children, just as it is for you. So
mm-hmm.
providing that bit of guidance and education has helped us instrumentally in regards to that and not
yeah.
seeing a huge flow of animals back in the center. But as I said, you know, if we did see a huge flow, we wouldn't be able to continue to operate in the center that we're in currently.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that we needed to build this new thing for the next time the what ifs happen, we've got the resources, we've got the stability, and we've got the center that will allow us to see it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a scary thing, I guess, when you have the facility you have now and then you're like, oh God, like we're full.
Yeah.
Like we just can't, sorry.
They have to, yeah, unfortunately, have to get comfortable saying no, which is something that mm-hmm. as a charitable organization,
yeah.
people are relying on you. Right?
Yeah.
And not being able to provide them with the services that they need is always difficult.
Yeah.
But if you, you know, if you overextend yourself in the same regard and then you get to a point where you can't help anybody because you've stretched yourself too thin,
mm-hmm.
then who's better off?
Yeah.
Right? So I always said to the staff, and it's been something that I'm sure they're completely sick of me hearing from me, but I always continue to say to them, there's a reason why the phone rings and there's a reason why people come through those doors. They either need you or they want you. They either need our help or they want to help us. We
yeah.
need to be able to answer the call and support our community so that they can support us in the same way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating to see like keyboard warriors out there and like, you know, being a humane society. Yeah. Like, you guys must get so much shit. Like, I just can't imagine. And I've seen it for sure online. Like, how do you keep focus? And I mean, I guess the best way is not to look, but you also have to address certain things.
For sure.
So like, that would be a tough one to navigate because there's for sure people with probably valid points, but there's also ones out there that just want to go, like just want to go.
Yep.
For no real reason.
Yeah. And the last couple of years have only strengthened that too, right? Have only strengthened those keyboard warriors and having a voice behind a screen or behind a keyboard.
Yeah.
What I tell the team is just be true to yourself and be true to the organization and what we're doing. We know the amazing things that we're doing, the thousands of animals that we're supporting each year, regardless of the services that we're providing. Continue to focus on that. Continue to focus on our mission and what we're doing as an organization. And the noise is just the noise.
I don't think there's any better advice. Yeah. Like, what else you get? Distraction like that will just lead you down the wrong path every time, right?
Yeah.
So, good for you guys, because I know that's a hard one, because especially when it's so near and dear to all of you guys, to see, like, none of those people are willing to roll up their sleeves and say, hey, you know, what can I do to help? It's always, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? Why are you doing this? Like, but no, I feel like those people just aren't willing to, like, jump in and take the time to learn.
Sure.
They're just not
in. The 2%,
they're
right?
not interested
it's
in
the
that.
The 2% are causing 98% of your,
exactly.
of your stressors. But again, the beautiful part about the new space and the new center is being open and transparent to that.
Sure.
So if you've got a concern or an issue, well, come on in and see us.
Yeah.
We'll be happy to show you around, be happy to talk to you about what the concerns might be, and potentially, you know, hopefully, if it's an issue, let's resolve it. And if it's something that we can, then let's do so.
Yeah.
Right? And let's just be collaborative and see what we can do to support, you know, some of the either, you know, misconceptions that are associated with the organization.
Yeah.
Which I think every organization has in some way,
everybody,
shape, or form.
Everyone's got to deal with it.
Or, you know, or just some of the untruths. Well, let's come on in and we can chat about it. So you can see exactly what it is that we're doing and trying to do as an organization moving forward.
It's crazy. I mean, you guys continue to do a good job that way. So, okay, GoPro's at 9%. Cool, good to know. We'll finish it off here soon, but I just kind of like, I know you're in the thick of it now with the build and not much future stuff on your mind, but if you were to say, because I try to do this with myself sometimes and it's hard, but like if you were to say 5, 10, maybe like a decade down the road, what do you see for the Humane Society, not just the build, but like in general?
I hope, and my goal and focus will be, you know, whether I'm still leading this team, which I hope I will be at that time frame, better understanding of the human animal bond, better programming and opportunities that we'll be able to provide to our community and outward community through the center, which right now we can concurrently do zero of.
Yeah.
So being able to grow that is going to be huge, so that human animal bond and humane educational programming will be a big piece to it. Supporting more animals and people through the work that we do is going to be big. But then also being a community hub for animal wellness is going to be a big one, not only just for Peterborough, but regionally, and even as a provincial landmark is going to be something that I would love to see for this organization for the future.
It's going to be a game changer, man. Like when this thing's done, like I said, everyone's going to want to be a part of it. They're going to want to come in and see what's going on. And then they're going to try to create relationships and build things with you guys.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Well, and we've seen it like throughout the entire build process. Like, just some of our community members that have stepped up and supported us, whether it be a check in hand or in-kind donations or equipment that's supporting the organization or whatever. It's a very tight-knit community that look after one another. So you see that. So then being able to build additional relationships off of those relationships, or being a catalyst for company A and company B to start doing work together because of their common bond that they have with us is another great opportunity. Right?
Yeah.
So all that good stuff is going to be huge.
Wicked. Yeah. I see it all the time. We live in the best spot, a great community. So we'll end it off. I'm going to put you on the spot. So dog or cat person?
I was told right from the get-go, I can't answer that question. No.
I figured that's cool.
Yeah, no. They're both amazing. I have two dogs at home.
Yeah.
But they're They're all amazing.
Yeah, wicked. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, thanks so much for coming. Appreciate it. And
Jay, thanks for having me, pal. This is great.
Yeah, and just keep it going. It's wicked to see. And I get, you know, with Heidi there, I get good I get reports every day, and it's just wicked to hear what you guys are doing. So
thanks, pal. Awesome. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks so much.
Hey, man.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
We here at the JWF Podcast wish you and yours the very best of days ahead.